I want to turn again tonight to Genesis chapter 20. In order to keep the connection, continuity of the chapter, we read from verse 1 through verse 10. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." And Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" Said he not unto me, "She is my sister"? And she, even she herself, said, "He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all his servants, and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham, and said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing?" I think we got down to verse 6 last time. I will start with verse 7, which says, "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." Last week we saw in verse 5 how Abimelech pleaded innocence in taking Sarah into his harem. He was deceived by Abraham and by Sarah. And in verse 6, God acknowledges that he did it in the integrity of his heart. But now he can't plead innocency any longer. God has revealed to him that Sarah was Abraham's wife. Ignorance will not excuse him any longer. Now God charges him to make restitution. "Now therefore, restore the man his wife." I believe we have a very important principle here, which we should take time to look into. This is brought out in the law of the trespass offering. In Leviticus 5 and verse 3 tells us, "Whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, then he shall, and it be hid from him, when he learneth of it, then he shall be guilty." I don't know that I read that plain enough so you understand what it said or not. It says that anything that a man shall be defiled with, if it's hid from him, and then he knoweth of it, then he's guilty. Verse 5 says that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And verse 6, "And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned." Then in chapter 6 and verse 4, it tells us that he shall restore that which he took violently away. Verse 5, he shall restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth. Now Schofield, in the Schofield Bible, has a note on Leviticus 5:6, which says, and I quote, "The trespass offerings have in view, rather, the injury which sin does than its guilt, which is the sin offering aspect," unquote. However, both the trespass offering and the sin offering speak of our Lord Jesus Christ as our sin bearer. But the trespass offering reminds us of sin first against God and then against our fellow man, for which the wages must be paid. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Now that Abimelech knew that he had taken a man's life, God says to him, "If thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die." Although Abraham sinned, God would not allow him to be dishonored in the eyes of the Philistine king. He says, "Restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live." He is a prophet. Now, I don't know of any instance in Abraham's life where he functioned as a prophet in foretelling the future. But he was a prophet in the sense that he had the truth in his possession, and no doubt he spoke it freely. He was one who stood out in front to represent and to speak for God. Now, another work of the prophet has been to intercede for others. In Deuteronomy 9:20, we see Moses interceding with God on the behalf of Aaron. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5, and also chapter 12, verses 19 and 23, we see Samuel praying for the people. Now this is the function which Abraham will now employ on behalf of Abimelech, that he may live. However, failure to adjust the wrong done will bring certain death, both to the king and to all that belong to him. Now I wonder why God included Abimelech's household in this death sentence. No, but after studying the next verse, I came to the conclusion that they were probably his advisors. And if they had advised him to go ahead with his plan and keep Sarah, they would have been as guilty as he was. I don't know whether that's the right reason or not, but I couldn't help but wonder why. Well, we see in all of this how God defends and takes care of those who are his. Now I believe Psalm 105 and verses 12 to 15 is about this very instance. When it says, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. I know generally we're so slow to understand our high calling and our high position in Christ. As those who have been made accepted in the Beloved, we're so slow to understand that His hand is upon us for good. All things work together for good, those who love Him. And He who began our salvation will carry it through to its utmost fulfillment. And on that wonderful prayer of the Lord Jesus in John 17, He says to His Father in verse 10, all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now this gives us our place before God and the privilege of praying for others. Verse 8 says, therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Abimelech wasted no time. He rose early in the morning. Now, I doubt that he slept very much that night after he had his dream. He was in a hurry to call his servants and to tell them all about it. And they were very frightened. And I think Abimelech along with them. They were all in this thing together. No doubt what had just happened in Sodom and Gomorrah was still a vivid memory. And now this was enough to strike terror to the hearts of these Philistines. And in verse 9, Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And I doubt that we are to think that Abimelech went himself and called Abraham. But as in verse 2, he sent his servants to call Abraham and to bring him in before him. And no doubt this was a very shameful moment for Abraham. Here was an old man who had just had such lofty experiences with God. And he's being called to account by a Philistine king. It's bad enough that a justified believer or a prophet of God should be reproved at all by a Philistine. But the disgrace is all the greater since Abraham was totally responsible for it. And he deserved the humiliation. It wasn't as though he had been caught off guard. He was guilty of a lie that had been well rehearsed and which had already sent him out of Egypt in disgrace. And Abimelech wanted to know what caused Abraham to do this. And he began to question Abraham. He says, what hast thou done? Have I offended thee? thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Now, although Abimelech is just a religious professor, he seems to have a great sense of right and wrong. Like most religious professors, all they have, you know, is good works. They don't have Christ. What hast thou done? He said. I believe this is a question we should ask ourselves. When we fail to witness to our friends and our neighbors, what have we done? You know, Christian businessmen and women should ask themselves this question. When they live before their unsaved associates as if making money was more important than telling a lost soul about eternal life and how to obtain it. I'm certainly as guilty as anyone else. Abraham should have witnessed to this Philistine. Since all families were promised blessing through him in Genesis 12:3, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Instead, he lived a great lie of a life that did not acknowledge the dominion of his Lord in all things. Abraham did deeds that ought not to have been done, and he brought a great sin upon Abimelech and his kingdom. And I'm afraid that, like Abraham, many of my words and deeds have caused others to sin. If I would do as the little verse that I ran across the other day says, "'Tis always watch the words I say to keep them soft and sweet, for I don't know from day to day which ones I'll have to eat." Well, verse 10. He said, well, I can imagine that Abraham standing before Abimelech with his head bowed in shame and great fear, wondering, what are those Philistines going to do to me now? He seems to be speechless, for the time being at least. So Abimelech continues his questioning, verse 10. What sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? Well, I doubt that Abraham had seen anything, or that he had any hard evidence. But he knew what Sodom was like, and all the other cities of the plain and Jordan. So his suspicious nature made him think Gerar would be the same. However, we see from verse 13 that this thing had its roots way back in Ur of the Chaldees when he first started for Canaan. He believed that he was among a people who would kill to satisfy their lust. For such is the heart of the natural man.